The one major topic that you did not have on the quiz today is protecting groups. And so this is just a warning that, yes, you're definitely going to have protecting group problems on the next exam. We've covered two protecting groups so far, one for ketones and aldehydes. That's the formation of ketals and acetals. And the other's been for alcohols, and that is the DHP, the dihydropyran that we made the THP ether. Your textbook actually does discuss a protecting group, and that is the silyl ether protecting group. Silyl ethers are called that because instead of an oxygen having a carbon on both sides of it, as we have in a regular ether, there's a carbon and a silicon in it. The version of the protecting group that your textbook uses is TMS, which you might say, wait, didn't we learn that last quarter? Well, you sort of did. You had the compound tetramethyl silane, but that's not really that reactive, not the way that we want. We're going to use the compound trimethyl silyl chloride. Which you might look at that and say, wait a minute, how's that really going to be reactive? Because if that reacts like carbon, that's a tertiary silicon. Is it really going to want to react? Of course, I should point out that, yeah, it is in the same column as carbon, so maybe it has some of the reactivity of carbon. Well, silicon compounds are a little bit different in a couple of ways. The silicon atom is large enough where the problem of steric hindrance doesn't really exist, at least not in the same degree. So this compound can react. Also, the sulfur chlorine bond, or silicon chlorine bond, it happens to be reactive enough that you can use a neutral alcohol to react with it instead of having to have an alkoxide like we normally would do in an SN2 reaction. So this, although it's tertiary silicon, it doesn't matter. This is an SN2 style process. So after the attack, there's a deprotonation. And again, notice that it's an ether, except that one atom versus the other is silicon. So that's why it's called a silyl ether. Specifically, this is the trimethyl silyl ether, which can be abbreviated TMS. Now, it is a very widely used protecting group, but it has one drawback, which is that in mildly acidic conditions, or I believe even basic conditions, if you've got water around, it easily hydrolyzes. So as long as you're keeping it in a rigorously water-free environment, it's perfectly good. But of course, a lot of workup steps involve water, so it just makes handling of the reagent a bit tricky. So I'm going to show you something that chemistry-wise is identical, but it's a more robust, more it's a tougher protecting group. Survives water solutions much better. And that is the tert-butyl dimethyl silyl protecting group, or TBDMS for short. So because of the increased steric hindrance, so it turns out steric hindrance is not totally unimportant, it just doesn't affect silicon as much as it does carbon. But by putting a bulkier group on it, you do slow down the reactivity of that silyl center. So I'll just simplify and I'll say this. Increased steric hindrance helps prevent hydrolysis, which means reaction with water. So same type of process. If you take TBDMS chloride, tert-butyl dimethyl silyl chloride, and react it with an alcohol,
Same SN2 style mechanism. Since I showed the full structure of the reagent, I'm going to go ahead and abbreviate the product. So TBDMS, or sometimes you'll even see people over abbreviate and call it TBS. Just because it's kind of a hassle to always write TBDMS, TBDMS. How do we use this? Well, silo ethers are sensitive to acid. But resilient against bases. Meaning that they're not as likely to react against bases. And in fact, we therefore can use this in the same way that we use the DHP ether. We could use this if we wanted to protect an alcohol that was on the same molecule that we wanted to make a Grignard reagent from. Because remember, Grignard reagents are terribly basic. And if you had an alcohol in the same molecule, they'd self-neutralize. The reaction would be over. So the example I'll use to take a halogenated alcohol. Which, notice that this is one in which the bromine and hydroxide or alcohol groups are not right next door to each other. So whether this is technically classified as a bromohydrin or not, I'm just realizing my own self I need to find out. But let's say we wanted to turn that into a Grignard reagent. At the moment we can't because, well, even if the reaction happened, again, it's going to destroy itself. But what if we protected that alcohol? So we can put TBDMS chloride, which will make the silo ether. We now could react it with magnesium in ether or THF and make the Grignard reagent. I'll choose a random aldehyde for it to attack. So we'll form a new carbon-carbon bond and form an alkoxide at that position where the new bond formed. Now, if I had three carbons in my halogenated alcohol and two carbons in my aldehyde, I better make sure I count carbons properly in the product and make sure that I have five. So let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's correct. I'm going to draw one more line here, though, to show that at the end of the alcohol, or end of the molecule, we still have the TBDMS ether. Now, if I used gentle or dilute H+, that's the advantage of TBDMS. It can withstand those mildly acidic conditions. The reason I point that out is because we've now produced an alcohol. Which is in addition to the alcohol that we started with. Well, if I'd used strong acid, yes, I could have gone ahead and popped off the protecting group. But then I'd have two alcohols. What if this alcohol I just made is one that I want to continue doing a reaction with? Well, I still have this group protected. So by being able to gently acidify the solution, I can get the alcohol out and continue reacting with it. Or what if I wanted to protect this alcohol that I just made? I could use DHP, put a different protecting group on here. Why does that matter? Because it turns out that you can target the TBDMS group and knock it off with non-acidic conditions using this molecule TBAF, which that had some kind of amusing name for section 1 and 2. I don't know what it was. I have a feeling that I did or said something that I don't even know what I did because I had giggling going on, which always makes an instructor paranoid, even if it's not the instructor. But just because I'm paranoid doesn't mean everybody's not out to get me. So TBAF is tetrabutyl ammonium fluoride. Which is exactly one of those quaternary ammonium salts that I referred to back when we were talking about types of amines. So the mechanism of this step I need to look up. It's not in most first year textbooks, it's not in yours. But it's a non-acidic way of knocking off that protected group. The reason that matters is because DHP won't come off under these conditions. So you can have one alcohol you protect with DHP to make the THP ether, a different alcohol you protect with acyl ether, and you can knock one versus the other off. Makes for some really sophisticated synthesis. Yes? Well, I was saying if we wanted to do that. In this example, all I'm doing is showing that they can separate a gentle protonation versus removal of the TBDMS group. Yeah. Where does the hydrogen come from in this removal? That's why I need to look up the mechanism. Other questions about this example? So this is just another protecting group for alcohols. Now, we do have a synthesis workshop scheduled for next week, which we're still going to have. And then your exam's not till the following week, correct? Right. So not this upcoming week, but the week after, you do have another exam. But that means we do have a chance to do some more synthesis practice. So we're kind of out of time. Let me just squeeze this in as a mention so that you can read about it, and I'll do a more proper presentation. Out of all the different carbonyl reactions, the one thing we didn't cover was the formation of what's called a cyanohydrin. And just as an example, you can take a ketone, react it with hydrogen cyanide, and it makes a molecule that's got both an OH group and a cyanide. So cyanohydrin is kind of the cyanide equivalent of a bromohydrin, except that this is on the same carbon. The reason I'm showing you this reaction, besides just being completing out the material, is we're going to use this next quarter when we make derivatives of sugars. So remember this functional group cyanohydrin, because it's going to come back again. We're out of time, so we'll just pick up again on Tuesday. Yes? No, the lab exam has been moved to Thursday, which I know the website, I forgot to update the date. I made that announcement in class, but I apologize I didn't update the website. So yes, the lab quiz is Thursday, because I haven't reviewed for the lab quiz yet. And I know maybe other instructors will do something without review, but I don't like doing that. So we'll have review on Tuesday and lab quiz on Thursday.